It's time for Good Health, an opportunity to hear from our local healthcare community about the most current medical topics and how they relate to your healthy lifestyle. Good Health is brought to you by Good Shepherd Healthcare System. Now let's welcome our host, Nick Bayerano.
Hello and welcome to Good Health, sponsored by Good Shepherd Healthcare System. Today we're going to be talking with Dr. Brian Larson, Medical Director, and Heather Osborne, Manager of the Good Shepherd Home Health and Vange John Memorial Hospice, to help us understand a little bit more about what those services provide for our community. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So first off, I believe the most people probably don't understand what home health and hospice are and probably want to use them. Is this correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is home health?
So home health is a doctor order driven service that we have here at Good Shepherd. It is for homebound patients who coming out of the hospital after a stay, maybe coming out of Regency after some rehab and still wanting to be home but still need some eyes on them. So we can go in as a skilled nursing. We have physical therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and speech. And then if any of our skilled disciplines are in there, then we can go ahead and bring in a certified home health aide as well for bathing and things like that. We do provide 24-hour coverage. So in the middle of the night, if things are going and you're not quite sure, you know, we always have a nurse that would be available to you to give a call. And if we have to come out, we'll come out and see you. We do a lot of medication management, a lot of education. We do wound care. We take care of long-term Foley catheters. Again, I think that one of the biggest things that we do is just a lot of teaching. So if you have a chronic thing going on and you have a new med and you're trying to just kind of get everything straight and start feeling good and feel comfortable with the changes that your doctor's given to you, then we can go ahead and go in there and help you do that and stay confident in what you're doing.
So it sounds like a lot of what you do is surrounds education.
Mm-hmm, it does.
And just making sure that, I guess, your patient understands mm-hmm. their condition a little bit more, how to manage it themselves.
Mm-hmm, exactly, yeah. Okay. So when we go in, we have to be able to have somebody that we can teach because we can't stay in there for very long per Medicare and CMS guidelines. So we like to go in if it's a wound care. We teach you and maybe a caregiver or somebody else in the home how to change those dressings and mm-hmm. take care of that wound. And if you're progressing toward your goal and you're feeling better and that wound is healing, then we can go ahead and step out.
So you mentioned that there are some guidelines surrounding the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services mm-hmm. that kind of determine how long you can actually stay in the home. What mm-hmm. what is the allotted time usually for that is allowed, I guess, for home health services?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have had patients on home health for years.
Okay.
That every the biggest thing is the homebound status. And that gets kind of confusing even for our clinicians and doctors, too, because it's kind of a gray area that Medicare has kind of put out there for us. So homebound is if it's a taxing effort to leave your home, if you have to use an assisted device to get out of your home, or you need assistance, or you just have infrequent leaving of the home, I guess. Sorry.
Okay.
Lack of better word.
No, that's okay.
So
Just kind of to talk a little bit more, go a little bit more in depth about that, and you did mention some things, but why would someone actually need home health services? Like, what are some of the conditions that you guys actually care for in the home?
We do a lot of diabetic education. We do Coumadin management, INRs. We do what is called a cardiovascular pulmonary assessment. So coming out of the hospital, we can do that, kind of, you know, just make sure their blood pressures are good, their medications they might have come out with that are new from the hospital, that they're working. We communicate a lot with the doctor's offices. It's set by a plan of care that we do our assessment and set, and then that's sent to the doctor, and he looks that over and he signs that off. And then we continue to communicate every visit, and things are changing. We're just kind of their eyes and ears for their patient in their home.
Okay. So, for example, if I were to break my leg and I don't have anybody at home with me, essentially, to care for me, how would my doctor during my hospital, say, determine if I needed home health? I don't know, Dr. Larson, if maybe you could jump in and answer this one from a physician's perspective.
Yeah, good question. So typically what we find is after a hospital stay, with regulations, the insurance and Medicare want to lower costs, and so that means as soon as the patient demonstrates they're recovering, they need to be discharged from the hospital. Well, it doesn't mean that they're all better. They're still in the process of healing. And so part of that process is ensuring that they're getting adequate medications, that the nursing staff can still monitor it. And sometimes it's very difficult for the patient to get back in to see the physician after a hospital stay. And so really that's what home health does. It's medical trained nurses who become our eyes and ears on how the patient is progressing. So we sometimes see people with pneumonia. You know, they get a couple days of antibiotics in the hospital. They're still coughing. They're still not completely well, but they go home, and then home health comes in and monitors to make sure that they're actually recovering. Mm. And if things don't progress appropriately, then they'll contact the physician and make sure the patient gets evaluated urgently. Now, in the instance of a broken leg, many times you'll be, well, unable to walk, should we say.
Right.
And the important thing there is getting up and moving that limb in a therapeutic manner. So that's where physical therapy comes in. So if it's difficult for you to get transportation, say you don't have anybody to get you in a car and get you to the clinic to go to physical therapy, then we have physical therapy come into the home to make sure that you get up and get moving and recover appropriately.
Great. And so how would somebody actually get connected with home health? Is it something you discharge somebody to from the hospital, or can somebody call and actually request it from their doctor, or is it kind of a primary care provider that needs to schedule it or recommend it or refer to it? How does that process work?
There's a lot of ways you could engage home health. I would say a lot of our referrals come out of the hospital. So the hospitalist, there has to be a certification of face-to-face. So basically, I've seen the patient, I certify that they're homebound because of this condition, and they just sign that, and then they let us know who their primary care is. And so we follow up with their primary care and let them know that we've gotten an order for home health, and we'll be seeing the patient. Out of the clinic, it's kind of the same thing. We have a referral process, and we really just need that face-to-face documentation and then the order. And then usually nurses will go in there, and we'll kind of give our evaluation and say, you know, this is what, you know, this might be the plan that we would like to go. This is what we see. Mm-hmm. And then again, the doctor can say he agrees or might tweak it a little bit and then kind of go from there. So
okay.
It is doctor order driven.
Okay. Well, very, very cool. So is it, let's say if I'm staying in a hospital out of the area, can any of those physicians refer me to home health as well? Like, for example, if I had a medical emergency and I had to go to Portland or had to go to somewhere in Washington, how would I get connected with home health if I needed that service?
So kind of the same way. We take a lot of referrals out of Portland, OHSU, Providence. A couple of the rehab centers down there, they're very familiar with us and our services, and a lot from Cadillac as well, and in that area, Trios. The catch when you come from Washington is that Medicare says that you have to have an Oregon provider that will follow you on home health. So the hospitalist might say they need home health, but then we'll get a phone call, and they'll say, no, my primary care is still up in Washington, or I don't have a primary care. I just engage in the urgent care when I need it. So we do help try to provide or find them a primary care in Oregon that will follow them on home health. A lot of the clinics around town are very helpful in that way. So that's just that kind of catch. But we're very known down in the Portland and those kind of areas of our services.
Great. And I guess the other question I have is, what is our service area? Like, how far-reaching do our providers, I guess, actually care for patients on home health?
So kind of our border, we go all the way to Boardman and then out a little bit, you know, give or take 5-10 miles, Irrigan, Echo, Stanfield, Umatilla, McNary, and then Hermiston.
Okay. So we cover a pretty broad range, probably a 30-mile or so radius.
Yeah, 30 to 45 miles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're listening to Good Health on KOHU, sponsored by Good Shepherd Healthcare System. We just got done discussing Good Shepherd Home Health with Dr. Larson and Heather Osborne, the manager of Good Shepherd Home Health and Hospice. I have to tell you, just from our short discussion, I've learned a lot about home health, but I also want to talk about hospice now. Hospice is something that seems most people are a little more afraid to talk about and deals with end of life. Is that correct?
That is very correct.
Okay. Can you share with us a little bit about the history of hospice? I guess, Dr. Larson, we were talking about this a little bit before the show, but how did hospice actually get its start here in the United States?
Hospice. Oh, good question. So hospice originated in Europe. There were a number of European countries that started hospice when they realized that modern medicine was progressing to the point where we weren't always taking care of people in the dying process. And so in the 1950s, the hospice movement started in England. And there were a number of hospices in London and throughout England. Eventually, the benefits of hospice were recognized. And in the 1970s, hospices started appearing in the United States. Now, it wasn't until the 1980s, 1982, that Congress passed legislation authorizing Medicare to cover hospice as a medical service. And it was Ronald Reagan who actually signed that into law. And so at this point, hospice has been around for several decades and is recognized as a service to provide comfort to people with terminal diseases, where modern medicine no longer is able to cure them or help them. And so we focus on providing comfort, not only from symptoms of pain, but also spiritual and bereavement care to family members.
Okay. Well, so you kind of cover a whole different side or aspect of care with hospice than you do with home health services, obviously. One thing I want to ask you guys is, how long have we provided hospice services here in Hermiston, in this area?
We have been in the area probably for between 28 and 30 years. I don't know exactly, but I know we're closer to 30, I believe. So we've been here a long time.
Okay. And Dr. Larson, you also mentioned that we were kind of, from some of the research you've done, one of the founders of hospice services
yes.
in Oregon?
Yes, we were one of the few original hospices in Oregon. I attended an Oregon Hospice Association meeting last fall, one of my first times attending, and I was introducing myself to other physicians there and medical directors. And when I told them that I was with the Vange John Memorial Hospice, they were all amazed and mentioned that they had known Dr. John and that they would frequently consult him on difficult patients because he was so knowledgeable from his experience. And so it was quite remarkable for me to experience that. I discovered that I was stepping into rather large shoes that I had to try and fill.
Well, I mean, that is pretty amazing to think about, that for a city the size of Hermiston to be one of the founders in Oregon of hospice services as compared to, you know, Portland, Eugene, or Salem, or some of those larger urban areas that have a more of a population density that could probably use these services. We were one of the founders here in Hermiston. That's pretty amazing to think about that. So my next question is, why would somebody need hospice services? I know you guys kind of mentioned terminally ill patients. What are some of those conditions, or what qualifies somebody, I guess, for
hospice.
Okay. So hospice or comfort care, as it's typically described, the Medicare regulations stipulate that you must have a terminal diagnosis with a life expectancy of 6 months or less. In the early years, the focus was on cancer patients,
okay,
where we just didn't have other options, no more treatment options.
Mm.
And so at this point, it's expanded to include heart conditions, AIDS, lung conditions, end-stage kidney disease that's no longer treatable, and end-stage liver disease.
Mm.
And those are just the broad strokes. Obviously, Alzheimer's is included. Any disease in which it appears futile for us to continue to try and treat it, and in fact, the treatment becomes too aggressive that it can actually harm the individual.
Mm.
Many instances we'll see people who are obviously declining and they've been hospitalized 3, 4, 5 times in the last 5 months.
Mm.
And they're just not improving. And so our goal is to provide quality of care, quality of life in the last remaining days to weeks of life.
Wow. Someone might be saying, well, you know, if I'm going to die anyway, why would I need hospice? What makes this service unique and special for those that are you're providing comfort for?
Well, in the dying process, it can be very scary. Part of our services is providing medical assistance so that any symptoms individual might have in the dying process are controlled, so that there isn't pain, there isn't anxiety, supporting the family, and making sure that people can die peacefully.
Okay. And you mentioned that you also care for physical, mental, spiritual aspects. Can you, Heather, tell me a little bit more about what some of those other services might be that we offer?
Well, I think the beauty of hospice is that there's a team, and there is a lot that goes to the end of life care. And when hospice comes in, we like to come in with the approach that we can provide the support spiritually for patients and families. We have a wonderful chaplain, Kirk Rule, who's come to Hermiston and has done an amazing job at the hospital and with hospice and providing those services under our umbrella, as well as we have a medical social worker, Tare, and she's very familiar with systems and the state and rules and how we can get what you need. Basically, we want to be able to provide you all the resources that we can, and when we kind of hit a roadblock, Tare is very good at kind of helping us push through that and find maybe a way around whatever the case may be. And then we have, you know, of course, our case management nurses, we have one who's actually a certified hospice nurse, and so they're very well-versed in hospice nursing, which is kind of a whole different look at the nursing and what they do. And then we have the aides that come in and play a very, very vital role in taking care of loved ones and with the bathing, and they do little light stuff around the house. And then we have, on top of that, we have an amazing volunteer program in our volunteers. We have some that see patients, and that's just what they do. And we have had a couple of our volunteers that will stay overnight to give some respite care to families. But their goal and their objective would be to go in and just sit with a patient and play cards, you know, do crap, whatever it is that they want to continue to do. And we just try to assist in any way we can.
Well, sounds like you guys do quite a bit. I guess something else I want to know is, what keeps you motivated to continue doing this kind of work? Because I know it probably can't be easy, obviously, because you probably become attached to the patients that you guys see, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. It's an important place to be. End of life doesn't have to be scary. It can kind of be a beautiful place to be, a time for healing, a time to celebrate life, really. And I think that we are able to assist in doing that.
Good. You're listening again to Good Health on KOHU, sponsored by Good Shepherd Healthcare System. And with me in the studio today, if you just tuned in, is Dr. Brian Larson and Heather Osborne of Home Health and Hospice. And we've been discussing a little bit about hospice, and now we're going to transition into talking about something else. I understand, Heather, that you guys are going to be starting a new service line at Home Health and Hospice, I guess to coincide with Home Health and Hospice. So what is that service?
So the new service that we're going to be starting and still in the process of writing and getting all the plans and all of that with the state going, that we're going to be doing personal home care services. It kind of has come, it's a huge community need that we have. We get a lot of phone calls from people that need somebody to come in and help with bathing, light housekeeping, just visiting, running errands, taking to doctor's appointments. And so we're trying to fill that need here in the community. And two, with Home Health and Hospice, we have to have either someone to teach to care those patients, or with hospice, we have to be assured that there's going to be 24/7 coverage of that patient, eyes on that patient. And sometimes patients don't have that, families don't have that. And so now we'll be able to provide that so we can take care of more patients in Home Health and Hospice.
So if I was somebody that needed a personal home caregiver, mm-hmm. how would I go about actually finding out about it, or how would I discover it or call you guys, or how does that work?
Good question. Again, we're in the early stages, and we're really excited. There's a couple of things going on. We do have a Facebook page through Good Shepherd that has a little more of that information. You can always call our office and get more details of it. Medicare does not pay or reimburse for personal caregiver services.
Okay.
So it is a private pay piece. And eventually my goal would be to get with the Medicaid program, and then we'd be able to provide those caregiver services for Medicaid patients in our area.
So does someone need a referral essentially for personal home caregiving, or can they just request it on their own?
Nope, they can just request it on their own. They can just give us a call and say, I'm in need of these things, and somebody from the personal home care team would call them and kind of talk about what their needs are and kind of go from there. And again, those are things we're kind of working out as we get ready to launch the program.
Okay, and you mentioned a few of them already, but what are some of the things that personal home caregivers can actually do mm-hmm. for you?
Again, we can go in, we can do bathing, we can do cooking, light housekeeping, errand running, running somebody to the doctor, just companionship, yeah. And it is not a doctor, like I said, doctor order driven type of service, and yeah.
So if someone listening wanted to become a personal home caregiver or was interested in learning more about that, what would they mm-hmm. do?
Well, again, you can engage us on our Facebook page, and we've been kind of replying to those that have already interested in positions that we have. Currently, we will be looking for just a personal home care worker, and we're looking for those who have experience in that, as well as just, you know, people that just enjoy taking care of other people, too, as well.
Very cool. So I understand that you're going to be having a career fair coming up for mm-hmm. personal home caregivers. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So just in the last month and a half, Home Health and Hospice has come back under the same roof. And so we have a very new, beautiful space to work out of and live out of during the week. And so we're inviting the community and people that are interested in working for us to come down to our new, not our new building, but our new space in the Bruin building. And that day we're going to be kind of have different stations set up, and you can come in and learn about the program and some of the perks that would come with that program. Our HR department will be there to answer any questions about benefits and the benefits that are given by the hospital, as well as our education department, and our staff educator will be there. And we're in the middle of writing a whole training program. There'd be a week training that the staff would have to go through, and so we want to kind of explain a little bit about that. I'm really interested in trying to offer a real career path. You know, if you come in and you've just kind of learned to do personal care and you really enjoy it and you kind of want to continue that way, I want to be able to help engage and help support those that want to continue their education. So we'll have that. And then you'll kind of have just a kind of a, just a little bit of a screening. I have kind of a question and answer kind of thing that I'd like you to fill out, and then you can meet with me. And then after that is done, then we'll be, go ahead and post the position and people can apply.
Great. So you mentioned perks, and that kind of piqued my interest a little bit. What are some of the perks that you're going to be providing for people?
Well, you'd work with amazing people. So that's a big perk, I think. We have a great team, and you'll just be part of that team. So, I mean, that's probably the biggest perk for me. But we're going to be providing a uniform or scrub uniforms, bags for our personal home caregivers to take out with them in the field. You know, you have mileage is reimbursed when you go out. And then there's just a whole bunch of things with the hospital as well.
Great. And I understand you're also going to be having an open house for home health and hospice coming up here in a little bit, too. What day is that?
So that will be May 23rd, and that it will be open up to the community as well as our employees at the hospital, and that will be from 4:30 to 6:30. So we'll have our doors open, and you can kind of, again, come see what we have to offer and see our new place.
All right. Well, thanks again for tuning into the Good Health Radio Show on KOHU. Today's topic was home health and hospice, and we've been joined by Dr. Brian Larson, Medical Director, and Heather Osborne, Manager of Home Health Hospice and soon to be Personal Home Caregiving. Thank you both again for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.